good. I'm going to preach a little different type of message tonight. There will not be any rebuke, I don't think, in this message at all. Psalm 119. Be more of a message of encouragement. This is not to get you to stop doing something wrong, although that's fine. Rebuke and correction is all good stuff, but maybe just something to help you do something better. I title this message, An Even Richer Bible Experience. An Even Richer Bible Experience. I have not. You'd think that you study one book and you go to college to study one book and you talk about one book all the time and you'd think I'd get bored of the Bible. I just am nowhere near that. The Bible is still exciting and fresh and new and so much in there. And I still learn stuff all the time. I feel like I don't know the Bible that well, believe it or not. I guess I should. You'd think you'd go to study something for all those years, and I've read it. You think if you read a book every day of your life for 3 decades, you'd get to know it pretty good. But it's just not the mind of man. It's the mind of God. It's much deeper. And I want to say that the Bible should not ever get, for any long period of time, something you're bored of or not excited about. Usually you know your spiritual condition by how you desire the Word. And when you do not want the Word, I know there's days where you're in Leviticus or you're in Chronicles or some days you're tired and don't feel like reading the Bible, or sometimes you're just having some struggles. I understand that, but that's a day or two or something like that. But really, the hunger for the Word should be something that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. And I want to give you some things to have a richer Bible experience than you might already be having. Psalm 119, of course, the longest chapter in the Bible would be about the Bible. And it's the longest chapter in the Bible. Yeah, some of our young folks are working on memorizing this. And we could read a lot of verses in here, but let's just go to 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Then verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. This is a person who has a great Bible experience, who has a rich relationship with the Bible. He says, it's sweeter than honey to me. It's more precious to me than gold. That's how precious and how much they love their Bible. Therefore I esteem thy precepts. The word esteem means I think of, or I count it this worth. I esteem thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandment. Boy, that's what we're talking about there. He panted, he longed for the Bible so much. He loved it above fine gold. It's sweeter than honey to him, the rich Bible experience. I'm going to read out of Job 23. In the book of Job, talking about how precious the Bible was. And it's chapter 23 and verse 12. Neither have I gone back from thy commandment, the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. There's a hungry person for the Bible. More than my necessary food. I don't know any desire. I used to have this battle in Bible college where I was very tired and very busy, and I'd have a chance for a nap or to go eat, and I always debated, do I want to eat or sleep? Both those are pretty strong desires. Boy, there's not much worse than hunger. When you're hungry, that's all you can do is think about food. But he says, I long for the Bible more than my necessary food. That is someone who loves the Bible and has that. Now, I should have kept you in Psalm 119. Keep your finger there, but I'm going to go all the way forward to the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3. Way forward to the New Testament, Colossians 3. And verse 16. Says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and even richer Bible experiences. Pray. Lord, I pray that tonight that we would get this hunger and more of a desire. I pray that you'd help us to have a better relationship and get more out of it and help us with the word of God tonight. Lord, you gave us some ideas, and I just pray tonight we would get some of those ideas, and maybe two or three would be helpful for somebody. I pray that if somebody doesn't have a rich Bible relationship already, they'd begin to desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Lord, give us this hunger for your word. We are like children. We should always be growing, and we need to eat a lot when we're growing. And I pray that we would be in that situation. And I pray you'd speak to us tonight about your word and about our relationship to it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had this message written. I half written for a long time, and I just keep on not preaching it, because the truth is, in our church, we don't have a real problem with Bible reading. And I'm very glad to say that. I've never seen a church with as many Bible readers as our church has that read the Bible regularly. I'm always blessed to see my children having their own Bible time, and many of you, I know, have your Bible time. You don't realize that automatically puts you as an elite Christian if you read your Bible every day. And to you, it's normal, but it's not normal, unfortunately, in Christianity in America today. And we work hard on it, and we talk a lot about it, and I preach about the importance of the Bible, and we give you a Bible reading charts and do all the things we do to try to get people to read their Bible, and we get everybody a Bible, and we're always giving kids a Bible, and once they start coming faithfully and seeing they want to make some effort, and we work hard on getting people to read the Bible every day. That's a starting thing. I want to get you to read the Bible every day. It's food. If you don't eat every day, you're not strong. And so that's our first thing. That's one of the things we push, and you always get what you emphasize. And so we get people who read the Bibles every day, and that's great. We praise the Lord for that. So that's not the message at all tonight. I know there's probably several people in the room who don't read the Bible every day, but we do real well at that. And I've never seen as nearly as high a percentage of people in a church read their Bibles every day as we do in our church. But I want us to let the Word of God dwell on us richly. I want to take us from just liking the word and doing our duty to having a rich relationship with the Bible. When you're a new Christian, there's a time period where you're a newborn babe, and babies, that's all they do is wake up and start looking for food. That's what babies do. They're newborn babes. They're hungry. And if you ever look at the growth between 0 and 2, a child grows such a huge percentage. If you grew, you know, somebody did the math one time, but if you grew that same rate for the rest of your life, you'd be like, you know, 17 feet tall and weigh, you know, 865 pounds or whatever. And because you grow so fast in those first couple of years. And so they have to eat a lot. It's amazing how much an infant eats compared to the size of that body. And well, them and teenagers. But they eat a lot, and they grow, and because they're growing so much, they're growing. And then our kids, all of a sudden, one of our kids will be all of a sudden like, "Where is there more food?" "Okay, here's some more food." "More food? Oh, you're going to a growth spurt, aren't you?" And we know they're going to the growth spurt because there is not enough food in the world. And they just want to, and that's all they do. And they get done with dinner, and about an hour later, they go, "I'm hungry. When's dinner?" "You just ate dinner." "Oh, yeah." And why? Because they're in a growth spurt. And when you grow, you need to eat a lot. And so there's that new Christian time where you're longing for the Bible, and you're just wanted, and you can't get enough church, and the sermons are way too short. And boy, to hear that again. And you want so bad to learn. You wish you had more time to read your Bible, and you can't get enough preaching, all that stuff. That's great. But then you got a newborn babe, and many times you get into this tradition of reading your Bible and just start doing it, and you don't have the rich, exciting. Now you know the difference between the book of Acts and the book of Matthew and the book of Jeremiah, and you know the difference. And then you want to keep on loving the Bible at that point. I always believe that a Christian who doesn't have a hunger for the Bible anymore, and I've seen this from experience, I know this from my own life. Listen, when you quit eating, that means you're dying. When you lose your appetite, you're dying. Okay? That's always true in humanity. If you are still growing, you will still have a hunger for the Bible. But how to make it more rich, and how to not make it just, okay, I read my two chapters in the Old Testament and one chapter in the New Testament, and I got that, and I checked off a check thing, and that's good. Do that. But I want you to have something even greater than that. And if you do, that's all you do, you're doing good. Praise the Lord. But I want you to have something better than that, something richer in your relationship where you're still excited about the Bible many years down the road, and you stay that way. And so I want to just give you just a few things you can do to have an even richer Bible experience. Number one, let it dwell in you. Let it dwell in you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Dwell in you. Dwell in you. Let me take you to, let's see, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. It says in verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates. He says, you know what? I want you to be in your soul. Lay them up in your heart. He says, I want them to be deep in you. Deep in you. I marvel sometimes at how shallow the Bible goes into us. We get a bit of Bible knowledge. Remember we had this amazing youth group, and we told you about it many times. We're just amazing. And remember, we had some activity with some youth director we had, and we just went to youth directors here and there, and just people kind of running the thing. We got a youth director, and he had this thing, he had Bible trivia. And here's a bunch of teenagers who are soul winners, whose lives were transformed, who are impacting our schools, who are preaching, who are help running the church and teaching Sunday school and running bus routes, just doing all kinds of great things for God. And that particular night, one of the guys who went to our high school, just a guy who was just a wasted, messed up, greasy, long-haired stoner, came in there for whatever reason that night. And I knew the guy, and I knew he was a druggie, and he went to high school with us, and I had no idea why he came to the Bible study there. And we played Bible trivia, and that guy killed us all. He knew everything. He had all... I said, how did you learn all this? Oh, he said, I grew up in church the whole time. And he says, I get all these facts down. And he says, I just know all this stuff. And who's Hezekiah's son and who did this? In my mind, Bible trivia, I am terrible at it. Don't ever play me in Bible trivia. You'll never want me to be your pastor again. My mind is not thinking trivia. My mind thinks in big concepts and trivia. If you ask me who begat who, I got through it and I read it a bunch of times. But I don't remember. And I thought, man, this guy's got it in his head, but it is nowhere in his life. See, the Word of God needs to dwell in you richly. Dwell in you. Like you dwell in your house. Like someone dwells somewhere. Like an animal dwells in its dwelling. Let the Word of God dwell in you. It's not something you read your Bible and okay, you're done for the day. Boom, click, boom, go. And now you're gone, now you're doing the day. No. The Word of God is dwelling in you. It's deep down. It's there all the time. It's living there. It's dyed in the wool. It's way down inside. It's the way God talks about it. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It's deeply in you. I think you know what I'm talking about. When there's passages you read, and good, every part of the Bible is not going to speak to you every time. By the way, it does you good. It always does you good, even if you didn't understand it, because you just read the words of God. We told a story many times, I've illustrated, of the grandpa was with his grandson, and the grandpa said, hey, son, take that basket out there and go down the creek and get some water. And the grandson went down there, and he grabbed the basket, and he took it down there and dipped it in the creek, and he walked back up to grandpa's house, and he got there, and water was all gone. I said, Grandpa, it's a wicker basket. He says, I know, go down there and get me some water again. I want you to get me some water. So down goes the boy, and he dips it in the water and runs back up the hill, and he gets up top. It was still empty. He says, this isn't working. And his grandpa says, I need you to go down there and get me some more water. And he runs down there, and this time he gets right on the edge as close as he can to the cabin, and he leans down there and fills it all the way to the brim and poof, takes off running, keeps it still, runs as fast as he can. He runs up to his grandpa, and just as the last of the water goes out. And man, he says, Grandpa, I'm telling you, it doesn't keep any water in it. And the grandpa says, I know. He says, I didn't need the water. I just wanted the basket washed. And you know, you might not retain all that the Bible you read, but there's a cleansing of the washing of the water of the Word. And it's going to cleanse you just reading it. Even if you don't understand it all, even if you don't get deep concepts, it's just flowing through you. And you don't always get something from it, you think. But there's other passages you read. I remember as a new Christian reading in Matthew and how much I dwelt in Matthew and the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and how much those passages, they got deep down inside me. You probably have passages, you know what I'm talking about, where you're just reading and it just gets a hold of you and it gets deep down. And you think, no one ever must have realized how amazing this passage is. Because it's dwelling richly in you. And you want that, and you're thinking about it. You're amazed. You want to go tell somebody. Why? Because the Word of God is dwelling in you richly. Jesus says this in John 15:7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Abide means remain. Stay there. You keep it coming in. You get it deep down inside of you. It becomes a part of you. It becomes part of what you are. It becomes something that transforms your life. Just a few things to keep the Bible with you and to let it dwell in you. Number one, keep the Bible with you. Always have a Bible around you. Put it in your purse. Put a New Testament in your purse or in your back pocket. Put it in your car when you go into work. Put it in your lunchbox. But not where it gets abused and messed up, but just always keep a Bible somewhere near. It's easy nowadays. You can put it on your phone. You can. I can't. My phone would short out and blow up. But you can put it on your phone. You can put it in a lot of places, but have it with you all the time. Just have a Bible around you. You might have some spare time where you got some time to read, and always have a Bible around. Sometimes you start thinking about something, you got to look it up, and you got to find it, and you got to read it right then. Next, memorize it. Psalm 119 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against you. Memorize the Bible. I think I figured out when we had a memorizing club as a teenager, I think I figured out if you memorize two verses a day, you'll have the New Testament memorized in 11 years. It's pretty good. And just memorize it. Memorize a chapter. Pick a good chapter of the Bible. I made a big long list one time of chapters, good chapters to memorize. I give you a bunch of good chapters to memorize, and memorize a chapter. You'd be surprised how much you'll find in that chapter after you've memorized it and said it 45 times. There's a lot, and you'll realize there's way more than you thought in the Bible. Memorize it. Get it in your heart. Next, meditate on it. That means you think about it. You meditate there in day and night. Listen, don't let your mind be wasted thinking about things that are not useful. Meditate in the Bible. Think about the Bible instead of thinking about your problems all the time. Think about your Bible instead of watching TV. Think about your Bible instead of surfing the net. And meditate on maybe the message. Meditate on that. Do you know, let's take this morning's message. That message in the temple. When I had that message, I studied a bunch about the temple, and I just kept thinking and imagining in my mind, what would it be like and how inappropriate it would be to walk into the temple and start doing bad things, and how sacred that temple was. By the time I got up here and preached that message, it was deep down in here. Because I've thought about it so much in the temple and studied the layout and where everything was and where you could go and meditated on the scripture. And when you meditate on it, it just, the Bible says, while I was musing, the fire burned. Meditate there and day and night, Psalms 1, Joshua 1 say, just think about it. Sometimes you have to just take a card, a 3 or 5 card, and you just write down there a verse and write it out, and then go with you throughout the day. And then every once in a while, while you're at work or wherever, just pull it out and look at that verse and think on it. Think on the Bible. You got to think on it. You got to meditate on it. It's a deep thinking. It's amusing. It is not amusing, but it is amusing. And you think on it a lot. And you do that. So you keep it coming into you. You keep it coming. You keep it flowing in there. And you get it deep, deep down inside you. It's not on the surface. This is not, as long as the Bible is just on the deck of the ship, it's not going to do a whole bunch of good. It's when it gets down in the hole. When it gets down deep inside, that's when the Bible starts really changing you. Let it dwell in you. Let it stay there all the time. Let it be around you all the time and do that. Number two, don't just read it. Don't just read it. Again, I'm not saying it's bad to just read it. That's the number one thing. I was interested in the Bible talks about reading the Bible, and it does. It talks about Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah in the Bible. It talks about that. And people, it was scrolls, and they're reading scrolls, and they're reading the Bible. And it's good to read the Bible. I think reading the Bible is amazing, and you should, and we're blessed we have a copy. Wow. Read the Bible. But I want to say you can also do more than reading it. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, reading is biblical. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, give attendance to reading. And reading's good. And Jesus read the scripture out loud in the synagogue, and people would read it in the synagogue. But understand, in New Testament times, you didn't have your own Bible. In Old Testament times, you didn't have your own Bible. Those Torahs are very sacred. And they were in a synagogue, maybe, and they were guarded and they were protected because it took them forever to translate them, and very expensive. It took a very long period of time. And not everybody, and very few people, had a scroll. It was a very rare thing for that Ethiopian eunuch to have a scroll. But he's a very wealthy man. But very rare someone had a scroll of the Bible. They went to church, just like when Jesus got up and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me in Luke 4. He read that in the synagogue, in the church, in the meeting place there for the Jews. And he read it. And so the people mostly listened. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I find the best I enjoy the Bible is actually listening to it. Now, reading is great, and the majority of the time I read it, I don't always have the access and the ability and the situation where I can listen to it. But listening to it, I find you get a whole different perspective. Now, if you're reading it, that's great. If you want to read it, that's fine. But you can also listen to it. Don't just read it. Next, sing it. Let me take it to Ephesians 5. Sing the Bible. Ephesians 5. Again, this is how to have a more rich Bible experience. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. My good friend, Pastor Mark Watkins, is a music major, has a master's in music, and he's a pastor now. But he said this. He said, music is a highway directly to the heart. Music's very powerful. So you want to have a richer Bible experience, use that thing in music with scripture together, and you have something. That's why I love singing scripture songs. We sing them a lot in church. We have a whole bunch of them. We put them on the projector and we sing them. There's very few of them in our songbook. Let's just sing a couple. We'll just practice. Now unto the King Eternal, okay? 1 Timothy 1:17, I think it is. Ready? Now unto the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. How about seek ye first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. When you're in temptation, sing some scriptures. When you're depressed, sing some scriptures. Let's do unto thee, O Lord. Ready? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And we can go on Micah 6:8 and behold what manner. How about let's sing that first John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. You sing the scripture. We say, where'd you get that idea, Pastor? The book of Psalms? The longest book in the Bible is songs, and it's scripture. It says, sing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Get songs that are very close to Bible, that have good doctrine. I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able. That's almost word for word scripture. Good doctrinal songs that are scriptural songs. And sing scripture often. You know, you can make up a scripture song. You find your favorite verse and you can put it to a song and start singing it. That's a good way to have a richer relationship with the Bible, is singing scripture. And singing it out loud. You know, it doesn't have to rhyme. There's no Bible verse that says everything you say must rhyme. You know, when you look at Psalm 119, and a lot different passages in Psalms, there's different Psalms, they rhymed in the original language, in Hebrew. They don't rhyme in English. It's okay. They're still beautiful, aren't they? We have this certain thing where everything has to be. Listen, put scripture to song or sing scripture songs. It makes you feel it more. It makes it richer, and it's very powerful. There is hundreds of good scripture songs out there, and people have written them. And Dave's son has written some, and there's whole people have made up whole books of scripture songs that collected them, and do that. Sing. It's another way to get it like that. Next, listen to preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Listen to good preaching. Don't listen to all preaching. Know who you're listening to. There are a lot of dangerous things out there to listen to. If you want to know, I know good websites that are only have good, solid doctrinal preaching on them. We've got a gazillion sermons from here. We brought all the guest speakers we would bring in here, you've heard. They would have good, solid doctrinal preaching. There's a lot of stuff that says Jesus and reads a Bible verse and sounds good, but it's very dangerous. But listen to preaching. That's God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching of the Bible is powerful. And listen to it that way. It'll make scripture much more important. Listen, let's just go to this morning again. For illustration's sake, wasn't this morning more stirring about the temple than when you read Leviticus last time? Okay? Because preaching brings fire to the Word of God and helps to illustrate it and helps you understand it. And how can I understand except man teach me? And so preaching's another way. Now, it's not the only way. I don't think it'd be healthy if you'd only listen to preaching and not read your Bible on your own. But it's another way that makes it better. Listen to a lot of good preaching. Next, search and study the scriptures. Let's go to Acts 17. We could have read out of 1 Timothy. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But look at Acts 17 in verse 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Study the Bible. Pick a subject you're interested in and study the Bible and see what it says. Study a book of the Bible. Find out, what is the book of Joel about? What is the book of Philemon about? What is the book of Ephesians about? And study it, and read it, and pray over it, and study it, and study it. As you study scriptures, you get blessed. You learn more. You prove what you've heard. And that's what they did here. And by the way, I never have any, you don't ever notice when I say to read your Bible, I never tell you along with this certain magazine or article. Or listen, I know what you're going to find when you read the Bible. If you have an open heart and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you read the Bible, you'll find people always found and they read their Bibles. Listen very closely. Studying the Bible is not watching YouTube videos. I am so sick of people getting doctrinally wrong because they said, I studied this subject out. Oh, really? What verses you read? I watched a whole bunch of video. YouTube is not the Holy Spirit. Trust me. There's loony bins there. Crazy people. There's no credibility. You do not know if the truth has set them free. You don't know if they have on the other side of the camera 10 dead bodies there. You know nothing about them. And I am amazed that people think they studied something out because they watched 10 videos because one person paid to have their video get put to the top and now they're the authority. The guy's living in his basement in his mom's house at 45 and he's been married 4 times and he's sitting here teaching you about marriage. Because his video is the first one that pops up when you say, have a peaceful marriage, and it pops up. Read your Bible, man. I've had more people in the last 3 or 4 years I've met who used to think straight and think loony because of YouTube, because they studied it on YouTube. That is not studying your Bible. Ready? This is really deep. Here's what studying your Bible is. You read the Bible! Isn't that amazing? Well, it takes too long. Don't be impatient for truth. You might not be ready to understand it yet. Listen, you've got a spirit, John 14:26, who will lead and guide you into all truth. And what happens, you begin to read the Bible and study the Bible and study it and study it. What happens is you say, you know, I've been reading the Bible, I don't understand this. And God says, it's not time to understand it yet. You're not going to understand this till you understand this. I always marvel. People are getting so much into the rapture right now. And all these kooky theories about the rapture. And all of a sudden, everybody knows exactly when he's going to come, what part of the tribulation. And everybody's all into this stuff. And it's amazing. I had one person sit here tell me that. And I said, they said, I've been studying this a whole bunch. I said, how'd you study it? Well, I watched a bunch of videos. I know. Have you read the book of Daniel yet? No, but I read Matthew 24. You will never understand Matthew 24 until you understand the book of Daniel. You won't understand Revelation. You can read Revelation 50,000 times, and if you do not read the book of Daniel, you will not understand Revelation. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. You study the Bible and the Bible, and all of a sudden, I've listened to people, and they say, oh, I understand the tribulation is going to happen at this, the rapture is going to happen at this point. And I asked 3 or 4 questions. They realize they know nothing except for they know Matthew 24, and they know 2 Thessalonians 2, and they know those 2 passages, and they're sure it's so clear in there. They do not understand any difference in the day of the Lord and the day of Christ. They don't understand the marriage supper of the Lamb, and they don't understand the Daniel's 70th week, and they don't understand the time of the Gentiles, and they have no picture of all of Scripture. And eschatology is the last thing in the Bible you'll understand. It's the hardest thing, the end time study. You know what the easiest thing to study in the Bible, that's the easiest thing will pop right out and anybody can understand it? Salvation! He starts at the easy stuff. You'll understand real easy. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. He makes it really clear. Why? Because you got to start with line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You got to study the whole Bible and read the Bible. And you don't need to, listen, you do not need to sit and watch videos when you have the Holy Spirit and you have your own copy of the Bible. Okay? Study the Scripture. See if such things are so. And by the way, listen to good preaching. And study your Bible. And if your Bible says something different than I say, the Bible's right, I'm wrong. Study the Bible. Study it. Read it. Look up subjects. If you don't understand, it's biblical to ask questions. Why? So you don't understand the Bible, ask your husband's home. How can I accept some men teach me? It's okay to ask a question and then take what they say and go look it up. Study the Bible. Get off the internet to understand your Bible. Unless it's play the Bible on the internet. Study the Bible. I like that. Amen. Study the Bible. Unless you know the Bible well, you won't know the Bible well.
Amen. So simple. That's deep.
And that's actually deep. If you do not know the Bible well, you do not know the Bible well. You got to know the Bible. That's what you need to know. And by the way, I don't study theology. Theologian. What a dumb term. Theologian. Listen. Study the Bible. In it, the Bible says, you have all you need for life and godliness. That's all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You need the Bible. Study it. Look it up. Look up things. Look up subjects. At least see what it says. Study a subject out and figure it out. You'll understand patterns, context. You'll understand the flow of the Bible, that all flows together. You'll get the big picture. You'll understand that Genesis was talking about Jesus, and the temple was talking about Jesus, and the whole thing is flowing together and giving you pictures. When you understand the pictures of the Old Testament, you understand the doctrine of the New Testament. It all flows together. Next, number one, let it dwell in you. Number two, don't just read it. You can listen to it. You can sing it. You can listen to preaching, search, and study. Next, and this is number three, ask the Lord to reveal it to you. We're not in Psalm 119 anymore, but let's go ahead and go there because we're going to have other verses there. But verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I just tell you one of the things you always do when you're going to read the Bible. Before you read it, the Bible says, understanding cometh by the Spirit. Natural man cannot understand the things of God, the Bible says. But it says here, Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes. Verse 18, I lost my note. There it is. Verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's a spiritual book. Only God can reveal it to you. So before I read the Bible, I always say, Lord, help me understand your scripture. May your Holy Spirit make me understand what you're saying. Open my eyes that I may understand the wondrous things, whatever it is. Some kind of prayer asking God to help me understand the Bible. That's why I think I'm right on doctrine. Because I'm relying on the Lord. And I'm looking to him. And that's why anybody can be if they just pray. And it says, that I may behold wondrous things out of the law. Well, you know, when you let the Holy Spirit start being your teacher, you're going to be amazed. Wondrous things out of thy law. And it becomes very rich when the Holy Spirit's teaching you. And that's what you want. Next, make it a part of your family life. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Make the Bible part of your family life. I think family devotions are good. I think we already read that in Deuteronomy, I think it was 13 earlier. But I want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 right now. In verse 7. Verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou liest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, I must be tired, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and there shall be a frontlet between thine eyes. It says, hey, in the next verse, it says, write them upon the gates of thy house. Your home should be full of the Bible, and talk about it with your family members. Spend time teaching I promise I will never be upset if you teach your kids more Bible than I teach them. Matter of fact, that's probably the way it's supposed to be. Teach your kids the Bible. Talk about it with them all the time. It says talk about it day and night. And when you're walking by the way, just keep talking about the Bible. Share it with your family. Make your family life a Bible life and do that. And we usually have Bible time at nighttime. We do a lot of different things, and I won't go into that too much, but Bible time. And make it part of your family life. Next, to make the Bible rich, more rich in your life. Let troubles drive you to the Bible. Psalm 119. You will find the Bible more rich when you need it. Psalm 119. We don't like these verses very much, I don't think. Psalm 119, but they're amazing. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Remember when I preached, hopefully you do, a couple weeks back, about the peace of God and when your mind is stayed on him? I preached that. I didn't know where that verse was. I was surprised to know it was in Isaiah. I thought it was in Psalms. But I woke up one morning in the middle of the most chaotic time of this building situation where we didn't have a direction to go yet. And I just woke up early in the morning, and that verse just stuck in my mind. And it just sat there and said, you know what? Be at peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. I just need to focus on God. God's got it all under control. And just sat there and thought, you know, I got driven to that verse by trials. You know, when you start getting a good Bible and start getting some Bible in your mind, you're reading your Bible, you'd be amazed how God will time it out where you read a passage on the day you need it. And a verse will come to your mind because you're in trouble, and you will love the Bible so much more when you need it. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy precepts. See, the answer to whatever your problem is right here in the Bible. And those troubles might drive you to find it. It might make it so a verse that Romans 8:28, yeah, I've had the verse memorized since a kid. All of a sudden, when you're a kid, you didn't really understand just how precious that is. And now you know all things work together for good. Let trials drive you to the scripture. Let you find how sweet Psalms 23 is. You'll have a richer Bible time and a relationship with the Bible. And last, respond and remember what he teaches you. James chapter 1. Respond and remember what he teaches you. See, because Bible knowledge is usually progressive. God gives you what you need, and God gives you what you're going to use and what's going to help you and help others. And when you're ready, you'll understand what you need to understand, and don't force, I have to understand this right now. If God doesn't quicken you, you don't have to know it right then. But when he teaches you something, you need to remember it. James chapter 1, in verse 22, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer," remember this is you want to have a better relationship, "a hearer and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself," he sees himself, "and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." See how much it emphasizes remembering and doing. When God shows you something in the Bible, you do it. But also remembering what he showed you. That's important. You know, if you look back in history, many, 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 many great Christians had a journal. And they wrote down what God taught them. You know, if God teaches you a lesson, sometimes that hardship, you go through something and it teaches that lesson. Did you know if you remember that lesson, you probably don't need to go through hardship to learn that lesson again? Did you know how many of us went through hardship, learned the lesson, and then all of a sudden we're going to go through the same hardship and we go, what do we do? And God says, oh, brother, I have to teach this lesson again. And then you do it again and again and again. How many times is the same person that learned faith? Listen, if you're not a forgetful here, if you remember what God has shown you, when God said, I love you unconditionally, he showed you that, when you come back to him, you shouldn't be 6 months later saying, I don't think God loves me. Stop. When God took care of you the last time you were freaked out, it's not a biblical term, but it's a good term in life, and last time you're all worried and God worked it all out, you know, if you didn't forget, you can say, you know, I'm going to be just fine. Because you weren't a forgetful hearer. See, when God's shown you something in the Word, and He's done something for you, and He's been faithful, and He's blessed, and He's worked, listen, now, Paul said, hey, I'm not worried. I know whom I believed and am persuaded. My God shall supply all your needs. I'm not worried the least about it. I can do all things through Christ. Paul had no worries. He had studied the Scriptures. He'd experienced God, and the Scriptures always work. And he says, wow, I'm in a tough situation, but I remember what God showed me the last time I went through something like this. And I'm not going to be a forgetful hearer. And if you are a forgetful hearer, you need to write it down and keep a journal. And then in the front of your journal, write down, when you're worried, look at May 17th. And when you are bitter and think you can't forgive, look what God taught you on July 14th. And if you're being greedy and think you can never quit being greedy, look what God taught you on December 25th. And whatever God... And remember those things so you can go back. And you know what? If this sermon changed your life, get a copy of that sermon. And when you go through, getting ready to go through the same thing, listen to the sermon again. If you're a forgetful hearer, stop that, because God reveals in His Word what you need. And if you want to have a rich relationship, do not forget what He taught you, because it'll be sweeter the next time. When you're getting ready to go through something again, and you say, you know what, I remember the last time, and you know what, God taught me this, and what was that verse He used? Oh, He used Philippians 4. Oh, man, that's right. That is so good. And you suddenly have this rich relationship with the Bible. Remember, I'm not rebuking you for not reading your Bible, and say, go read your Bible. I'm not saying that. I'm saying take your Bible relationship to it so you can say like the psalmist, I love this book above fine gold. Listen, this world's messed up and changes all the time. The longer I live and the more I see the craziness of the world and people and their inconsistency, the more I love being able to open this and see the same thing every time. Amen? Amen. The Word of God in a stable is so precious. And the longer you become a Christian and the more experience you have and the more you find out this thing works, amen? Praise God, everything it says is perfect and it works. And the more you see, that's why this is like this. It said it right there. I didn't even realize the Bible was going to tell what people, how dumb they'd be in modern society. And everything, and then you say, you know what, this teaches me how to live this way and how to have a family and how to do my finances and everything. And you just start loving the Bible so much. And it starts becoming deeper and deeper into you. And it's not just something you hear and you get in your mind. It's something deep down in your heart. And somebody says, the Bible's not true. And you go, oh, brother. Not, oh, really? Say, man, I've experienced. It's perfect. It's the Word of God. Because it's deep, richly in you. In all wisdom and understanding, you've let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. You've studied it. You've experienced it. You've remembered what He taught you. And you live in faith. And you have a rich, rich, rich relationship. And you start sounding like the psalmist. Oh, how I love Thy Word. It's better than gold. It's more better than food. I love it above everything else. It is my rejoicing all the day. And you sit there with Psalm 119 and say, I get what he's saying. I feel the same way. Because the Bible becomes very rich when you get beyond just a little head knowledge. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that that it's not a getting right with you message, Father, but it's us having a more rich relationship with it. Father, I don't know when the Bible wasn't getting better and better to me. And Lord, we thank you for it. What the mind of God, it's so deep, it's so wonderful, it's so true, it's so rich. Father, we thank you for the Bible. May we, and we want to read it through in a year, Lord, we want to get through it and so we can get the whole picture and everything. And Lord, that's good, but help us also to do these other things and sing it and meditate on it and talk about it in our home and dwell on it and remember it, Lord. I pray tonight that everybody in this room would get a richer relationship with their Bible. And if there's some that don't read the Bible every day, I pray that they would get that also, Father. Because the entrance of thy word giveth light. Your word is perfect, converting the soul. Thank you for it. Thank you for all it does for us. May we have that rich relationship with it. May we love. May we be thankful. May every day we praise you because we have a Bible. May we change some things and do some things to love it even more. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. We're not going to have a